Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. The sisters of Lazarus sent word to Jesus to inform him, "Lord, the one you love is sick." Upon hearing this, Jesus said, "This sickness is not to end in death. Rather, it is for God's glory, that through it the Son of Man may be glorified." Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus very much. And yet, after hearing that Lazarus was sick, he stayed on there for two more full days. Finally, he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." When Jesus arrived in Bethany, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him while Mary sat at home. And Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would never have died. Even now I am sure that God will give you whatever you ask of him." "Your brother will rise again," Jesus assured her. "I know he will rise again," Martha replied, "in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he should die, will come to life. And whoever is alive and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied, "I have come to believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, he who has come into the world." Jesus was troubled in spirit and moved by the deepest emotions. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Sir," they said, "come and see." Jesus began to weep, which caused the Jews to remark, "See how much he loved him." But some said, "He opened the eyes of the blind." Why could he have not done something to stop this man from dying? Once again, troubled in spirit, Jesus approached the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across it. "Take away the stone," Jesus directed. And Martha, the dead man's sister, said to him, "Lord, it has been 4 days. Surely there will be a stench." Jesus replied, "Did I not assure you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" They then took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward to heaven. He emitted a groan. He said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I know that you always hear me. But I have said this for the sake of the crowd, that they may believe that you sent me." Having said this, he called out loudly, "Lazarus, come forth." And the dead man came out, bound hand and foot with linen strips, his face wrapped in the burial cloth. "Untie him," Jesus directed them, "and let him go free." This caused many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did to put their faith in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord
Jesus Christ. It's quite a bit of drama. Would you like to have been there for them?
Yes.
For what reason? See a bit of excitement? Is that it? Pardon? Oh, to see a miracle. Okay. Good. Pretty dramatic. I want you to see it in the context of the two previous parables. Very similar. It's particularly John 9, the Gospel of John. We see many of the same features coming back in. It's as if he wants to really emphasize the importance of this. It's about the journey of faith, about growing in faith. Remember those details that we had 2 weeks ago with the woman at the well. "You have no bucket, sir," and she moves from sir to prophet to Messiah, and finally down in verse 42, Son of Man, Savior of the world. Very similar progression. The next week, the man born blind. "Yes, I want," what you can give me. And Jesus has him enunciate what it is he wants. When he makes the takes the saliva and the dirt and he puts it on his eyes and he says, go wash, you are sent, an apostle. It's quite an event, really. Jesus all the time having a very clear vision of where he is going with this. It is constantly eliciting faith among people. Very slowly, very delicately, and very tenderly inviting them to faith in him. But this is a pretty dramatic one. It's a story that is very much a part of our story. He had these great friends. Thank God for friends. Everybody deserves to have friends. Jesus had friends too. The doors of this home were very welcoming and very open. He knew it well. He had a great relationship with Lazarus and with Martha and Mary. It appears he liked to stay at their home. He liked to, when he was coming in that direction and when he was going about his mission, he would stop there to eat with them, to celebrate, to break bread with them. And so they had this relationship. Now their brother becomes ill, and we all know that type of experience. Somebody becomes ill in your family, and it brings a sense of being really frenetic. What do we do now? What they do is rather brilliant. They do what you and I have a tendency to do. They're not sure what God is going to do. Is he going to perform a miracle? Is he going to make this work? Is he going to bring him back to health? And all these thoughts and perceptions invade our perspective. And so they send a message to him. Notice the subtlety of the message. The one you love is ill. It's not the one we love. Not that they didn't love him, but they want to make sure to give Jesus a little push, just in case he wasn't getting the message. The one you love is ill. And, of course, he in here in pieces, what are you going to do about it? Right? It must have been pretty stressful for those ladies that it took him 2 days to come. How do you explain that? How do you explain it? Here they were watching their brother dying, and they send the message, and the intent is very clear. You better get here. You better be here. His little life is on ebb and flow, and he is dying away. And Jesus stays there working with the disciples, kind of takes the note, puts it in his pocket. That's fine. I got this. Really? I got this. No problem. I'm very much in communion with them. They didn't see it that way. We don't see it that way. We say, hey, come on, get here. So his life continues to ebb and flow, and then he's dead. He's dead. A lot of difficulty. A lot of the neighbors have come in to comfort and support them. And the very one they needed and wanted apparently wasn't there with them. That is a great frustration. Where are you? Where are you, God, when I need you? Beautiful. It's the very same thing you and I experience all of the time. And then he comes after 2 days, pretty dramatic, and Martha gets the message. Somebody says, hey, he's coming. He's out the way. He's still outside of the city gate. And Martha goes running out, "Hey, if you had been here, my brother would never have died." And now it really engages. "Where were you? Why didn't you come earlier? Why were you not taking care of me?" He said, "Hey, you have no idea how much I was taking care of you. And I'm going to learn you and teach you through this process. If you had been here, my brother would never have died. I am the resurrection and the life." What is the most important thing Jesus says or does in this story? Pardon? Thanks his Father, a good thing. But he was in total communion with his Father, so it wasn't unrealistic in any way for him. It's a good piece. We all have different thoughts. What was the most important thing he did? Some would say, "Hey, he raised up Lazarus." Others would say, "Well, he was compassionate with the sisters. He wept." The sight of a grown man weeping. That was no show. That was a real sense of being present to them. What do I believe about that? That's pretty important. Was Jesus kind of just putting on a show and joining in and weeping? Wow. Who was it that was present to the sisters? Begs all of those questions. Martha says, "If you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died." Jesus says, "Do you believe? Do you believe in the resurrection and the life?" "Sure, I believe." "What do you believe about me?" "I believe that you are the Christ that has come into the world. And I know that whatever you ask of the Father, he will give you. That's who you are. That's where you are in communion with him. That I know. But hey, I have difficulty. I know you, but I have difficulty making it to the next step. So don't we all?" And Jesus said, "That's okay. If you believe, then you will see." She said, "Well, I believe as best I can." Then she said, "Let me go get my sister." Mary had been sitting at home. Do you think Mary was a little chapped and just stayed at home? "Hey, I'm not going out to see him. Man, he didn't show up. We sent him the message. Where in the heck was he? Why did he take 2 days to come?" Perhaps she was a little chapped. Perhaps. But there's another possibility. Maybe she didn't know when Martha heard the message that she was taking out. And so Martha comes back to the house and says, "Hey, he's outside. He's asking about you." And others are wondering, "Hey, what did she say?" Mary gets up, comes on out. "If you were here, my brother wouldn't have died." The very same thing. "Hey, there's only one thing to say in the face of the death of our loved ones. If you'd been here, Lord, why did you not take care of this?" Remember what he had said? This is not going to end in death. It's an important little piece. And so Mary has her little dialogue with him, and then Jesus has the same feeling that they have, the grieving and mourning. That's no show, no put on, no nothing. That is Jesus being totally, absolutely, and completely present as he was when he was just a few miles down the road. That's pretty important. What do you believe? Do you only believe when you see stuff, when you see action, when you see glory and power? Do you only believe then? Pushing the question. Where did you put him? Notice, "Sir." Good beginning. Started with the woman and the well. "Sir, prophet, Messiah, we're coming to faith." Where did you put him? "Sir, let's show you." They go there. Says, "Hey, take away that stone." Martha, still struggling with the faith. "Hey, won't there be a smell?" He said, "Look, You worry about peripheral things. I want you to really come into this. Trust me. Roll back the stone. Okay, Father, I know you hear me all of the time. I have no question. Now, these, my friends, they may have difficulty, but to let them see this in action, this is the way it goes. Father, I trust you, I believe in you. Send forth, not what I want, what I need. Big peace. I want what I want, when I want it, and how I want it. And this is the conflict. Lazarus, come forth. It was a pretty easy deal for him. He's God. But he was showing the sisters, in life and in death, I have a hold of him, so I'm going to reach in and take him out of death. Why? Because of this. Because I am the resurrection and the life. And it begs the question, what do you really believe about it? What do you believe about our brothers and sisters that have gone forth? Tragedy? Sometimes tragic. But even being a good, holy person, I am not saved from the tragedy of death. It is the inevitable reality of coming to fullness of life in him. It is the absolute inevitability for the Christian. But he says, since you really want to know and understand this, Lazarus, come out. He came out just as they had put him in, dead. Wrapped in the garments of death, the bindings and the wrappings around the head. Just that we will read about Jesus in the resurrection narratives. The wrappings being there and Jesus gone. Untie him. That's a good one. Untie him. Let him go free. Wow, if I were just to focus on that in the parable, how many people do I hold bound in life? How many people do I manipulate and control or attempt to control? In what ways and how? And that's just a little significant piece. Here's the significant piece. He brought him back to life. Now, did you ever think about this? Lazarus had to go back all over again and die. There's absolutely no other way in this world. So the big question comes here. How long would be enough? If he had to go back and die next Saturday, would that be sufficient? If he had to go back and die Thursday, if he had to go back and die a month from now, would that be satisfactory? If it was a year from now, or is it 5 years from now, it's really a little battle of the wills. Hey, bring him back, but for how long? What am I going to be satisfied with? Now, that's where you open up the challenge. Am I going to be satisfied with a month, or really, is it, Lord? Let him die after me, because that's the way I want it. That's my will, and this is yours. Wow, that's laying it bare. So what do I think, what do I feel, what do I trust about my brothers and sisters that have gone to him? It's a matter of laying bare the thing and knowing the reality that there is no way around it. Death will come to all. I don't know and I don't understand how and when and why it comes to one at 13 and another at 24 and another at 40. Hey, we grow comfortable with the reality when they are 75 or 80 or they are older and have lived a full life. But that is the key piece of his plan. I don't know when, but I do know the invitation is about having faith in him and having some definitive sense of He does have us covered. He's not going to save us from death. He does have it pretty carefully in his plan. And it was a great invitation to the sisters. Hey, even when I was down the road, I had you covered. And just in case you don't believe, let me show you. But he will die again. That's one thing for sure. So what do you believe about resurrection? What do you believe about life hereafter? What do you believe about this life?